Every once in a while, we have visitors who are actually people returning to Holy Name. They live in other parts of the metro area or their country, but they're home. Just recently visited with a couple who have come back. And there's a question in my heart, and I would never put them on the spot, nor would I ever put you on the spot. But here's the question. What kind of a community are we today? How's that compare to when they lived here and were part of our community? What are we like today? I have a vision for us. That vision came with a lot of prayer and reading and conversation. But that vision is that we be a community of 21st century disciples. 21st century, because at the beginning of this century, Pope John Paul II had a vision for the church that'll take about 100 years to fully understand. Basically, he said, we've got to do things in new ways because the world is changing so much. When I articulated that vision a couple of years ago, a young man came up to me and he said, well, what is a disciple? How do I know that I'm a disciple? And I was a little perplexed by the question because this young man is deeply a man of faith. You can tell by his appearance, by his conversation, by what he laughs at and what he doesn't, how he speaks and how he doesn't speak. If you ever pray with him, you can tell he's a man of faith by the posture of prayer and by what he lifts up in prayer. Forever with him and his wife, you could tell that he loves her, as to say, God, I'm going to love you through her, and receives that love from her as if to say, Lord, she's the sacrament, the outward sign of your love for me. Wow. A man of faith asking that question, what is a disciple? At the first, I was taken back by it, but I've had that question asked a number of times. And Father Evans and I, throughout the fall, have been trying to look at these scriptures to formulate an answer. Because the complete answer really takes a lifetime to understand. But I've been wondering, what do these scriptures say about being a disciple? This is a season of waiting and the season of joy. So we've been taking that question and getting more specific. A disciple is a man and woman who have joy in their hearts. But what's joy? To that young man's question years ago, how do I know that I have it? What's that joy? I tried to define it last week. Let me repeat what I said last week. Joy is an abiding sense of well-being. An abiding sense of well-being based on a conscious relationship with the Lord. That's what joy is. It's something deep within us. So deep that even when life is miserable, even when life is full of sorrow, even when life is carrying its struggles and those struggles are manifesting itself, that deep, abiding presence is still there. And the experience is one of serenity. That's what joy is. It's a lot more than that, but that's a simple definition that time allows me to get into this morning. Last week I said it's different than happiness, and so many of us spend our lives making our decisions based on what's going to make us happy. Last week I defined those different levels of happiness. But it's always circumstantial and it's always fleeting. We're happy one minute, maybe not the next, and we're always hungering for more. Sometimes the Lord doesn't necessarily mind whether we're happy or not. But he does want to give us that joy. How do we get it? How do we receive it? In John 15, Jesus gives an answer. He said, I want my joy to be yours so that your joy may be complete. I want my joy to be yours so that your joy may be complete. You know what, friends? We hunger for that kind of joy. Each and every one of us. Our Heavenly Father has placed that hunger, that thirst in us, and He desires to give it. I say this so that my joy may be yours and your joy may be complete. Say what? I want that joy. How do I get it? A disciple will ask. And the answer comes in John 15. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now live in that love. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Live in that love. We were conceived in love. We've been baptized into love. We are nourished by the Eucharist in love, confirmed in love. Some married in love. All encounters with divine love. And Jesus says, live in that love. How do we do that? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. How do we open ourselves to that gift? Keep my commandments. And here's where John comes on the scene this week. Because John speaks of the same thing. John speaks of the same thing because from Adam and Eve to this very moment, we have lived in the Lord's love and we've turned our back on the Lord's love. We trust in that love and we don't trust in that love. The way the tempter tempted Adam and Eve is how he tempted us. We do it individually and we can do it as a culture. And throughout the history of God's people, there have been times where the culture has walked away from the Lord. God's people of old did that. It was so bad as a culture. The prophet Ezekiel said, the Spirit of God has left the temple. The Spirit of God had left the temple because people had turned their back. Mary will bring him back. We'll celebrate that. The day that Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to be presented to the Lord, he will be brought back. And the good news for us in our time is he's never left again. He's always here. And will always be here with us. But what are hindrances to that joy and how do we receive it? John says, prepare for it. John says, my whole mission, my whole purpose of life is to get you ready for the coming. To get you ready for his coming. To prepare you. To give you the knowledge of God's saving love. Will you listen to it? When the dawn from on high comes, John says, will you be ready? Actually, those were John's dad's words, Zechariah. The dawn from on high will come upon us. The Advent question is, will we be ready? Will we know that joy? Will we have it? To prepare his people, John does four things. One, he goes to the desert. Two, he asks them to confess their sins. Three, he then washes them clean. And four, he says, change your ways. In other words, receiving this joy and living in this joy takes work. I can't come to my chair and sit down and say, God, I'm here, I'm awesome, let me have it. It doesn't work that way, and yet some want it that way. To know that joy takes work. For the people of old, they had to leave home. They had to journey to the desert. It was hot. It was dry. It was dangerous. Wouldn't it have been easier for John to stay in Jerusalem? They had ritual baths that people had to go through before entering the temple. Couldn't he have washed them clean there? Yeah, he could have. But he said, you know what? I'm going back to where the Father first led our people, and that was in the desert, through the Red Sea. And friends, people followed him. They came. When they got out there, they said, now what do? Confess your sins, he said. Confess your sins. Name them. Express them. Get it out of you. Express it. We do that at the beginning of Mass. The first part of Mass, when we come in, we stand up and we say, Lord, I'm here because I've got to repair the relationship with you. And the first step in repairing it is to name my sin. We name it privately there. We name it out loud in the sacrament of reconciliation. Naming and expressing is always so important. Reconciliation allows that expressing to take verbal form. And then John says, come. Come and be cleansed. Come and be washed clean. And people did. They entered the Jordan River. And so for us, we have been washed clean in the waters of baptism through the blood and water that flowed from the side of Jesus on the cross. We too have been washed clean, but oftentimes need to be washed again. And then he says, change your ways. Change your ways. It's not, Lord, forgive me, let me keep doing what I'm doing. No, change your ways. That's hard. To live a new way. Go back home by another route. As the wise men will do in a few weeks. Change our ways. What might need changing? What might need confessing? Well, those areas that we don't follow the Lord. John 15, live in my love. Hey, and you'll live there if you keep my commandments. Live in my love. We know each of us how we break that. And we all do, all of us over the age of 7. The 6-year-olds and younger get a free pass on this one. The rest of us have surpassed that. The Catechism says, in addition to those commandments that we know, the Catechism says, beware of indifference, because living with indifference can close us off to the joy that the Lord desires to give. And I'll leave it to you with it, to find examples of indifference. The Catechism says not being grateful can shut us off from the joy the Lord wants to give us. Being grateful every day, not being entitled, not saying I deserve, I've earned, but realizing that who we are and all we have is God's gift and being grateful for it. That's what Mass is, offering ourselves being grateful. Catechism says living a lukewarm life will close us off from that joy. Being a cafeteria Christian will close us off from that joy. A picking and choosing what's easy and what's convenient and trying to set aside that which isn't, that which we don't like. The Catechism lastly says spiritual laziness, not praying or not having our heart into prayer, not worshiping, not coming to Mass, or not having our heart into it as we go through different parts of the liturgy. Spiritual laziness can close us off from that joy too. Might those be areas of change? Perhaps. Perhaps the Lord has a word for each of us individually. The people of John's time came to him and said, what should we do? What should we do? In addition to keeping the commandments, John said one more thing. He said, be attentive to the naked. Make sure they're clothed. Be attentive to the hungry. Make sure they're fed. The churchy term is those corporal works of mercy, being a woman or man of mercy who lifts the burdens of another. That's the preparation work for the joy that returned to the temple and the joy that is here in this very gathering, in each of us in this word and Eucharist. It's the joy we hunger for and seek. Not the whole answer, but another significant step in that. Father Evans gets to wrap that up with you next week. I get to do it at the 8:30 Mass, but that's what we hope to do, is kind of look at next week's scriptures to wrap up this part of being a disciple, because the Lord will have more for us after the holidays.